Welcome, folks, to Room Temp. It's Super Bowl day, Super Bowl Sunday here in Pittsburgh and everywhere in the United States. We're awake. It's noon. A couple of us are banged up from a great night last night. I know Mickey is. Hasn't really slept.
No, I'm running off of like 4 hours of sleep, maybe. I got some dunks in me, though. I'm ready to go, kid.
Well, hashtag Dunkin' Donuts. Make sure you toss a sponsorship our way if you want.
Ready for the hashtag big game.
Big game. Big time.
Today we got obviously Mickey's here joining us talking some Patriots Eagles. I'm calling it America's fight. Nothing more American than an Eagle and a Patriot fighting one another. We're gonna talk about
pretty good.
Yeah.
I haven't even thought about that.
There you go. You can use that one. That's free.
Oh, shit.
We'll hopefully have a drink of the Super Bowl from Grey Neff. We've got the Battle Royale of the Century. We'll be talking about that, discussing that, hopefully. We'll be breaking down to you all the greatest Super Bowl drinking game of all time. Also, our predictions. Also, make sure you follow us at Room Temp Show and not be a dick. And thanks for joining. How is everyone feeling? I know we just mentioned a little banged up last night. How are y'all feeling today?
I woke up today more excited than I think I have woken up for any Christmas in my entire life.
I'm feeling very good.
I've got the pep in my step today. Yeah. Like, I felt it.
Even though
I hadn't felt it all this week, but I'm feeling it today.
Yeah, even though my team's not in the Super Bowl, I feel very happy today knowing that the Rams are the first team in NFL history to sweep the NFL awards. So that was pretty cool.
Suck
my cock, then.
I mean, Sean McVay had 35 votes for Coach of the Year. Doug Peterson had one. So soon.
Yeah, we were talking about that
last
night.
Which is garbage. It's absolute fucking garbage.
I said I'm not mad at all that Sean McVay got Coach of the Year.
We not me, baby.
But, no, yeah, all right. But like, I think the spread was so heavy weighted one way, not the other.
Both
even for
coaches
like
coaches in the Super Bowl, like,
got one
right
vote.
Now, got one vote. That's incredible to me. I'm sorry, but that's just wild.
And I think that like we had talked about it in our group chat before the show the other day. Even we were like, how heavily do they put upon the voting? What you've done from the previous, like, what improvements from the last season, which to me seems kind of fucked, because you're like, if you're doing Coach of the Year, meaning this season, but you're talking about your improvements from last season, it kind of makes no sense to include that. Although it is still, I agree, it's still important. But, like, I think that a lot of the reason McVay won it this year, again, I think deservedly should have been in that conversation, should have won the award, but was due to the fact that he had such a crazy big improvement from last season and
I really do. Like, Jeff Fisher's been talking like this entire season about how he deserves praise and thanks for like the Rams' success this year, and I think that that's wrong, but I think he does deserve a lot of praise and thanks for McVay winning this award, because if Fisher wasn't such an incompetent idiot of a head coach, like, McVay would have never won it. Like, if the Rams had a shred of like any kind of semblance of an NFL team, like, Todd Gurley even said himself last year, he's like, we're literally a high school football team. Like, if they were not that last year, like, he literally said in his press conference, he was like, yeah, this offense is literally high school. Like, I feel like I'm playing back in high school. Like, this is awful. Like, if he had a semblance of like a Division III college team, like, McVay wouldn't have won this year. But because Jeff Fisher was so bad last year and the Rams were so bad and like they were actually good this year, like, I feel like that's they put more weight on that than anything.
Yeah, and then
I can't believe that Mike Zimmer got as many votes as he did.
Dude, Mike Zimmer actually deserved a lot of votes, I think.
I think that was actually a...
Do you think...
He got
do
two.
Do you think he deserved more votes than Doug Peterson?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not. I think that he was... When I looked at the list and, like, I just... It totally went over my head that Mike Zimmer should have been a contention for it. And I was like, wait, oh, shit. Yeah, like...
It just baffles me. I mean... I get everybody that they named in it. So you have McVay, you had Zimmer, you had the Jaguars coach, and then Belichick and obviously Doug Peterson.
What's the Jaguars coach's name, Sean?
I honestly don't even know his fucking name.
Doug Maroney Baloney.
Yeah, he got double as many votes as fucking Doug. What? Like, what?
I mean, he did have Blake Bortles sense. And got the whole year and took him all
four
the way
bagels thrown.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, and had arguably like one of the best defenses in the NFL, which literally led, like, they led that team.
And that has nothing to, that has nothing to do with Doug Marone.
I had them in fantasy, and honestly, they were one of my highest, like,
point getters
all year. The defense.
Well, I know, and then you and I had talked how Kamara and that rookie pair and Lattimore on defense won Defensive Rookie of the Year and Offensive Rookie of the Year. Awesome,
I think. The Saints swept and the Rams swept. which is just incredible to me.
Which is really cool. Like, it's cool to me because it's like, that's it's something cool, different.
But it's like, fuck.
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I mean, all deserving, though. Like, Kamara deserves.
If Brown doesn't get hurt, it looks a lot closer, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes. Antonio Brown didn't get her offensive player of the year.
You know, one name that wasn't in that, though.
Wrecked by injuries this season.
Yeah, literally wrecked.
If Carson wouldn't have gotten hurt, I think he would have been the MVP.
Agreed.
I agree.
Yeah, I agree, too.
He still had more touchdown passes and less interceptions than Brady.
Yep.
And he missed three games.
But Brady's also 40 fucking years old.
Which is in itself
we're gonna get into like crazy. Super Bowl is like the main part of this show today, obviously. But the you know, like all the prop bets they have for it, like how long the national anthem is. But one
like
of them is
six, dude.
Dude, one of them is the over under is 1.5 for how many times Tom Brady's age is brought up in the broadcast.
Oh, over,
one and
dude.
A half.
Over.
One and a half.
Yeah, over. Smash that over.
I bet you
over.
They do it like six smash times in the freaking intro.
Over.
Yeah, I was like, what? And who the hell set that? 1.5. that was ridiculous.
That's definitely gonna get bet up. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, that still happened.
Yeah, by the time this episode's over, it's gonna be like 17.5. Like,
dude, yeah, right.
We're talking about gambling right now. They're saying that this year is gonna break the record for the total amount of money going to bets for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're telling them to be some shit.
Dude, there have been. Like, I was reading this article that came on, like, USA Today this morning about, like, massive, like, million-dollar bets. And this one company that started up in, like, 2012 that's been doing these bets in Vegas for like, forever, they, up until this point, they've only received $1 million bet, and that was on Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather.
The Mayweather fight.
They put $1.2 million down on Floyd. This game alone...
The smartest bet of all time.
This game alone has... $3 million bets. They said it's breaking records left and right.
I know who I'm going to take.
Is that because it opened up so high? Like it opened up at 6.5?
Yeah, they're saying this is one of the first times ever that Vegas is actually rooting for the Patriots to win because of the amount of money that's on the Birds.
Which makes sense.
I mean, it's on them for setting the line that high.
Yeah.
Like that, I was shocked. I mean, it got bet down to 4.5. But like,
yeah.
I still enjoy 4.5.
6.5 is ridiculous.
I mean, it's still, honestly, it could still drop to 4 by kickoff.
Oh, that would drive me up a wall.
But like, when's the last time you've seen a game like drop 2.5 points, 2 points even? Like, this is like,
I mean, pretty often, honestly.
It happens a
lot.
You don't gamble that often, though.
I mean, I look at lines.
Before we go too crazy into this, I wanted to touch on some other shit from other sports and around the league before we, hash it out at each other and hurt each other. Emotionally. LeBron.
I don't know any other way.
LeBron. LeBron's reportedly he was quote unquote open to talking with the Warriors during free agency this summer.
Warriors don't want his ass.
No?
True.
No way, dude. No fucking way. He's a cancer.
Cancer.
I don't know about that.
He's a locker room cancer, dude. The Warriors do not want him, bro. They do not want him. They're like, it's Steph, like, first off, in order to, like, he only would consider them if they can open up a max contract space for him.
Yeah.
That means there goes Clay, there goes Draymond, there goes everybody, maybe even fucking Kevin Durant at this point, like, literally just to open up a max deal. Like, why would you blow everything up just to get LeBron? Like,
so you wouldn't trade, you wouldn't get rid of Clay Thompson and Draymond for LeBron?
No, I would not. No.
I would in a heartbeat.
I would not, really, dude. I'd
play three players. I'd just start like, all right, Steph, KD, LeBron.
Dude,
like,
the thing is, though, like, even if they don't, like, say they don't sign him and just keep this team they have now, no matter where LeBron goes, he's still not beating the Warriors. Like, no matter what happens, like, they are going to be the best team until all four of them decide to stop playing together and stop winning titles. So, like, why blow it up just for the sake of, like, does losing Draymond and losing Clay and adding LeBron and losing probably a lot of more pieces really, like, make them that much better? I don't really think so.
Well, like, how are they going to beat the Celtics then?
You can't beat the Celtics without LeBron, obviously.
God damn it.
To see five straight seasons of Warriors Celtics.
I would rather see that than Warriors Cavs. I would love it. Honestly, I would love it if LeBron made it to the finals every year for the next 10 years and lost every one of them. I hate LeBron so much.
Jason Jordan.
That sounds amazing.
Jason Jordan. I think LeBron won't go for the simple fact that he can't handle the Cali wine.
Sheesh! That vino.
This is true.
It's so true. I mean, I've seen enough of that. Those vino snaps, the Instagram stories, to just A, want to just off myself, and B, just that man's just so goddamn cheesy.
Wildly disrespectful. It is like, hey, I'm a professional athlete. I am going on wine benders with my best friends because I can. Just think that I know that I'm better than
just
everyone.
Just because I'm addicted to the vino, bro.
What was the final score of that game last night?
120-88.
Oh my god!
I smashed the Rockets -3.5. I was like, they're going to crush them. I was like, they're literally going to crush them. And
88 points is all they scored.
The Cavs this season had scored 124 points in a game and got 20 pieced. Like, how does that happen? Like, they literally don't care about defense. Like, they do not care at all. At all.
There's a question being tossed around, too, that if this is obviously everything with him going to the Warriors was hypothetical, probably not even like a real consideration either way. Not. Obviously, with what we just said, like all the scenarios where he would have to go and everyone else would have to leave. But like, do you think if he went, do you think it would kind of ruin LeBron's legacy?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think it's already half ruined if he leaves Cleveland again.
If he leaves Cleveland again?
If he leaves Cleveland, I don't think it necessarily does. I think if he went to the Warriors, it would.
Dude.
Yeah, but I think that's like, dude, everything would melt down if that happened. That would, like, I can see that happening just because of
him.
Like, the backlash and the outlash that, like, people would have.
I could see him staying in Cleveland for, like, a one-year deal just because no one else is going
to
be, like...
I don't see him staying. He is very unhappy and he hates the owner.
I could see him going to the Lakers or the Sixers or someone like that.
I think he's going to the Sixers. I've been saying it for all year. I see him going.
I can see him going to San Antonio.
You guys aren't thinking Clippers with all that space they have right now.
Clippers wouldn't be a bad option.
I don't see him going to the West just because of how hard it is. If he's really about winning rings, he's going to stay in the East.
Yeah, because LeBron is so like obsessed with his stats and with his legacy and with everything like that. Like, he will never go to the West just because he knows he won't make it to the finals every year.
Well, I think he's going to turn.
I've seen a lot of talk about him going to the Lakers too, I think that's just not true.
I don't think he'd go to the Lakers.
No, dude,
I don't think he would. I think from like a cap space standpoint,
unless LeVar Ball dies, he's not going to go to the Lakers.
Maybe he will.
Maybe he will.
Number one, because they have the money to give to him, and it's like the team's so young. Plus, him and Ben Simmons work out together all the time. Like,
I think that Philly's legit, like a legit option for him.
Listen, all I'm saying. On LeVar Ball, he's in Lithuania. It's a dangerous place. It was beyond the Iron Curtain for a number of years.
Still hasn't lost.
Far more than we should.
We barely talk about him.
Never lost.
I feel like he comes up every other episode.
He's a goat, bro. He's the goat. I love LeVar. I used to hate him. I used to fucking hate him so much. And now I'm just like, I see it, dude. I see the vision, bro. I see the vision. Let's build LeVar.
He's
a marketing genius, bro.
He's the basketball
marketing genius.
We all deserve.
Yep.
Like, we just all deserve LeVar Ball.
That's a fact.
Switching lanes a little bit, the Indians are going to be retiring that controversial patch, their little logo mascot bullshit.
Came out with a pretty dope new logo, too.
So the Redskins changed their name.
They're never going to.
You don't think the Redskins are ever changing their name?
No, they're not changing their name. They're just changing the logo.
I feel like the Indians isn't as bad as the Redskins.
No, God, no. God, no.
Not at all. Not even close. One's like a direct, like,
one is literally like a hard slur. It's insane that this is even really an argument. Like the N-words. Like, I don't know. Like, we've had it for a while. We've had it for a while,
and it's still very racist. Still very much problematic.
And Tommy just mentioned offhand, like, the Indians logo, mascot is definitely more racist looking, though.
But like it's Chief Wahoo is iconic.
Like red face. It's like, oh my god, man, come on.
Yeah, it's bad. But like they
got a Steamboat Willie.
They slick got a very, very, very nice new logo though, and like they really haven't used Chief Wahoo lately anyway. Like they changed like their main logo to that C like a couple years ago. Like
yeah, they did.
It's just like an alternate logo now, and they're just like, okay, like we pretty much phased it out already, so we might as well just stop using it. Like whatever. But like. They made a great PR move, fucking took that down. a lot of people are praising him, and the Redskins go and sign Alex Smith to a $90 million contract. And it's like, oh, my God.
What are your thoughts on that? Alex Smith boneheaded, now on the Skins.
Boneheaded, dude. Boneheaded move. What, like, my thing is, all things being equal, if the Redskins sat down and said, okay, we're gonna offer 4 years, $94 million and $71 million guaranteed to a quarterback, why would you not just give that to Kirk Cousins?
Because he wants more.
But does he, though? He said he's going to take a pay cut. He would take a pay cut to go to Cleveland. You can't tell me he wouldn't be like, yeah, I'll take $71 million.
He didn't say he'd take a pay cut. Cleveland has the most cap space. But he said that he would play for Cleveland.
Dude, I don't know,
should go to Cleveland. That'd be
he is
100%.
Awesome. He's 100% all about the money, and I respect the hell out of him.
He is going to be the highest paid NFL player. I promise you.
That's a fact.
Jimmy G's deal is going to get done. He's going to be the highest paid player for a little bit.
Jimmy G's going to get franchise tagged.
No, he's not. They just came out with a report today that they're like very, very close to a deal.
Oh, Bill is pissed.
He's waiting to see if Tom retires after winning tonight.
Bill is pissed.
All right.
Tom won't retire. Tom has 2 years left.
I agree.
This is what I thought was going to happen with Tom and Jimmy G. I thought Garoppolo was just going to like not do a long-term deal, force him to tag him, and then Brady's going to win the Super Bowl this year, go out there, win it again next year, retire, and then Jimmy G's going to sign long-term with the Pats, and it's just going to be...
Let's go, Ben.
You see the vision? You see the vision? That's literally what I was like, this is so... Because like everyone's like, oh my God, the Redskins got...
I'd hit you.
I was like, dude, everyone's just like, oh my God, like... The Chiefs got more for Alex Smith than the Patriots got for Jimmy G. I'm like, yeah, but the thing is, Jimmy G's going to come back to the Patriots. So really, they got more than they got the original player back, and they're going to get the second round pick. Like, it really doesn't matter.
They've been talking about that a lot up here on sports radio about how like they didn't get enough for Garoppolo, and I don't really have an argument against it because it was like a second and Hoyer. Like,
yeah,
they fucked up.
That's
you don't like Brian Hoyer.
They should have given him to the Browns. They've really fucked up.
Brian Hoyer,
I think they wanted better for Jimmy than that.
Brian Hoyer has a bigger than Case Keenum season.
I think
this
it's
year.
Super disrespectful what they did to Tom this year. That's the reason they didn't do it, because they were literally betting on Tom whether or not he was gonna like.
I thought that Tom was the one who wanted Jimmy G out of there for the season. Like there was this whole big ass controversy for it.
He
there was like a whole thing for it.
Gone, but he was like, I'm not retiring. Like, what the fuck are you like?
So yeah, it kind of would have been the most Belichickian thing ever though if he was like, nah, Tom, like you're out of here.
Like, not Tom, we trade.
We just traded you for 4 first round picks. Like,
says one word during the press conference when he retires.
I mean, that would have actually been perfect.
Could you imagine that?
We could
all really find out Tom Brady was a scheme quarterback.
I mean, do you think that he plays? I think he'd just be like, all right, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think he would literally just retire.
Or he'll go to the Browns and win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think he goes to the Browns, wins the Super Bowl, and he's like, okay, fuck you guys, I'm out.
Total Brett Favre move, but not really.
It would be, that would single-handedly make him not only the greatest quarterback of all time, the greatest football player of all time.
Speaking of, you brought up Brett Favre. What do you think about that Aaron Rodgers thing there, Matt?
Oh my God. No.
he said, if Favre can leave Green Bay, I think I could too.
Wait, is that an actual quote?
Yeah, he literally said, because someone asked him, it was on Pro Football Talk. Someone asked him, he was just like, are you like, could you ever see yourself leaving Green Bay? And he was like, well, if Favre left, like, it could happen to me too. Like,
no. No,
Matthew.
That's bad, dude. That's bad news. I think Aaron sees the writing on the walls for the Pats, and he's trying to get out while the getting's good.
Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Pats.
Oh my God! Could you imagine? Could you imagine if Brady retires and A-Rod opts out of his deal and just goes to New England?
That would be the most New England thing that ever happened. I'm sitting here with like a fucking like shock on my face. That thought has never.
What? No, no.
Oh no, dude. I'm woke on that. I see that vision.
Second week, Let me see you, Brett Hundley, Brian Hoyer, Super Bowl next year.
Bro, imagine Aaron Rodgers on the Patriots with fucking Brandon Cooks and Robert
Kelly. It would just be like
talk
it is
about
now.
A player that's been let down by their front office.
Oh my god, dude, so much. I mean, so much.
This is kind of what I hate about the NFL, where like players really do get stuck.
Yeah.
I mean, NBA, like not, you usually get dealt. But
I'm not putting this on the front office. I'm putting this on his bones. He just shouldn't have broke his collarbone.
That's really fucking shelf to do.
Yeah, what a dick.
It's like being mad at Gronk for his knees. It's like, fuck. Like just get, make him harder. Like, I know that people keep diving at him, but like
Sam Bradford and his knees.
Figure out how to not tear both your ACLs. Come on, dude. Figure it out.
Dude, I'll never forget watching that video of Aaron Rodgers talking about how he was going to come back and, like basically saying, like, yeah, it's, like, all about how you get, like, your blood to the area and, like, it's, like, all that. Like, I'm not going to say I'm not going to play, but, like, I might. Like, who knows? It's going to be up to the staff, but, like, I could play, but, like, oh, my God, it was the best video ever.
Yeah. Did you see another injury news, Ryan Shazier, which is released from the hospital? He shared that picture of him and Big Ben standing. I'm not really a Steelers fan in the least, but like we're around here and that's fucking hype to see. I know he's like walking again.
Yeah,
he's on the regiment.
That literally just came out like this morning.
Yeah, that's really good for him. That's fucking awesome.
Did you guys watch that video, like concussion protocol, that thing that came out a couple days ago?
No, I haven't.
No.
It was some like news source. They basically got footage of every single person, like every single hit that resulted in like the concussion protocol being enacted. It was wild, dude. Like just this season alone, like that guy on the Packers who got rocked against you know what I'm talking
Devontae
about.
Devontae Adams.
Like, mouthpiece flying, like
yeah, Devontae Adams got killed.
Yeah, Devontae Adams.
They showed the fucking Flacco hit. It was wild.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to go out here.
Chazier's walking.
I don't want to go out here on too much of a limb, but you know, football is a pretty dangerous sport.
Yeah,
ooh,
I mean,
I'll take.
I mean,
football is dangerous.
Sure. Let's take a rain check on that one, buddy.
Well, again, you know what? We're gonna put it to the people. I'm gonna put a poll up on Twitter right now.
Is football dangerous?
Is football dangerous?
Yes, no, maybe.
Dude, I just saw someone just tweeted out. It said, "I'm sorry, but the Brady family is really fucking weird." And it is four pictures of Brady like making out with his children, and then him making out with his father.
I was gonna ask you about that.
I'm gonna tag you in it so you can see this. Right, I'm gonna tag all of you in it just so y'all can see it for
don't
content.
Tag me. I don't want to see it.
No.
I've seen enough of it. Like, I don't want to.
It's already tagged. It's already. I can't go back.
I mean, I haven't watched any of those like Tom vs. Time things. So like, I've.
Oh, this isn't Tom vs. Time, bro. This is just pictures like of him at practice and shit. Like, this is in public.
Just kissing his.
Just
child?
Yeah, like, just what? Literally, he has in one of the pictures. He has his hand behind his kid's head, kissing him. Like.
Yeah,
look at it.
Your response to that, Mickey.
I just text you in it.
Not great.
I might be sick. Why did you do that?
And his own, and his dad too. Like, they're just straight lips. Like, oh no.
So, fans, if you want,
at least there's some consistency with just kissing happening in the Brady family. So,
yeah, it's
guys,
been passed down to his father.
By the way, there's a poll live on Twitter now at Room Temp Show. Is football, in fact, dangerous?
Tough to say, bud.
I said no.
Tough to say.
I said no with the question mark.
Did you?
Yeah.
Why can I not see the options? That would be great. I would love to vote and contribute.
CTE is just fake news.
I did go out and live.
Why are you tagging that, man?
Because I wanted you guys to get the context of what I was looking at.
I want
to
see a bunch of pictures of Tom Brady kissing his child.
Did you see it yet, Mickey?
That's going to get us pulled from Apple, dude.
That's the line. That's the line right
That's
there.
The line.
Just that one on replay. I want to see Tom Brady kissing his kids. I want to see Tom.
All right. So the reason we're all really here today is for America's fight. Eagles against the Pats. Today, 6 o'clock is the kickoff.
Oh, no.
Minus 4.5 is favor of the Pats. I have 48 as the over-under. I know I've seen it at 49. But before we get into this, whatever is about to happen, I wanted to, and I know that since Ben has no real stake in the game other than whatever bets he's placed, wanted to take time before we get into this discussion, because I know a lot of things are refrained from being said because in fear of, you know, superstition or what some may call jinxing his or her team. I wanted to say that this next conversation will be within a safe zone. So whatever you are about to say, whatever predictions you're about to say, whatever shit talking you're about to throw, whatever feces is going to be flying around metaphysically, I would like to just say right now, you're safe. It's not going to affect your team.
I just pictured Tommy like laying out like salt like around the team right now, like drawing ruins, just being like, all right,
we're good now.
No, the
seals. Lighting scent candles.
I'm still going to knock on wood for almost. Yeah.
I think Matt and I should make our official predictions like first and now and get it out of the way and then have just Mickey and Sean just duke it the fuck out. Because if we do it like at the end, like I feel like our predictions are just gonna get drowned out. So like, I think we just need to get it just out of the way, and then they can probably rebuttal ours.
Unless you guys think that you guys are civil enough in order to us to incorporate all of us in this conversation.
I think so.
Yeah, I don't. I think Mickey will, but Sean will not allow it. That's why I think we should get this out of the way.
I might see red here. And
yeah.
I don't know what's gonna come out of my mouth.
All right, so. So Ben,
I can go ahead. This is my completely unbiased, unfiltered, whatever you want to say.
So it is completely biased.
It is not. This is
Rams by four. Is what
saying. I'm saying that Jared Goff's going to come out here and he's going to lead the Rams down the field, and we're going to beat the Pats and the Eagles at the same time. No. This is how I really realistically see the game going. For full disclosure, I took the Eagles +4.5 tonight.
Smart.
I see this game going like a lot of other Super Bowls that the Patriots have been in. I think the first quarter, you know, the Eagles are coming out to dreams and fucking nightmares, which is just electric. I think they're going to be hyped up. I think it's going to be crazy. I think that they're going to jump out to an early lead. I think it's going to be like 14-3, like the end of like the first quarter, like midway through the second, something like that. And then I think the pace of the game kind of starts to slow down a little bit. You know, Brady in the past are kind of picking up a little bit momentum. I think it's like 14-10, something like that at halftime in the Eagles' favor. I think the Patriots come out, they get a touchdown in the third, make it 17-14 going into the fourth. I think the Eagles find a way to get a touchdown in the fourth quarter to make it 21-17. But I think Brady and the Magic, they leave too much time, 4 minutes or so to go. Final score, 24-21. New England Patriots win tonight. I think that the Eagles come out fiery on top. Patriots kind of lull in waiting, playing a little possum as they always do in all their fucking Super Bowls. I don't think they've scored a first quarter point ever in a Super Bowl. Maybe a touchdown. I don't know. But I heard some crazy stuff about it.
I think that
they start out slow as per usual, and then I think they kind of build it up. I think the Eagles cover the 4.5, but I think New England ends up winning.
You're taking the under? Yikes.
So Ben legitimately just told us exactly what happened in 2004. The exact same thing.
Really?
Do you think it's going to be a heartbreaking pick?
No.
Like, are you going to be able
to I think that Pat scored their last touchdown with a decent amount of time left, but I just don't trust Nick Foles at the end of this game to go down and win them a Super Bowl. I could see the ending being very, very similar to the AFC Championship this year with the Jags. Like the Eagles go all the way down the field, get to like midfield or something like that, and then just can't convert.
It won't be like that game strictly because of the way Doug coaches. He's not the type of dude to just like lay off and like play to finish the game.
I agree with that.
To keep going.
I agree.
Coaches make really dumb decisions versus the Patriots in Super Bowls.
That's facts.
Like it's a thing now.
Their era has to end at some point. It has to.
All right. Yeah. Here's my thing about
2020.
Here we go.
Their era will never end because Aaron Rodgers is going to be the successor of Tom Brady. Yeah. And I hate myself for thinking that, but I can see it. Oh, I'm pissed.
Okay. So if there was a situation in which both of these teams could lose.
Oh, I would love it.
I would be ecstatic.
Ecstatic.
I said this to you.
Can I chime in on that real quick?
Yeah.
Okay. I'd love to hear that.
It is a testament to how much people despise Philadelphia that people outside of New England are kind of rooting for the Patriots.
I'm low-key rooting for the Patriots because I hate you so much.
That is impressive in the least, and it kind of it bugs me a little bit. There's only, a little worried.
There's only there was a poll run. There's only four states in the entire country that are rooting for the Patriots. Four states.
I mean, like 20 of those states don't even count.
What is it? Was it New England and that? Wait, four of them? Or
it's like it's Massachusetts, Maine.
So New England.
New England.
It's New England. It's not Vermont, though. It's New England, and then it's North Dakota was the outlier.
Why was North Dakota rooting for him? Well, they don't like Carson Wentz?
That's what I'm saying.
To unify the Dakotas. They're not relevant enough to have.
I mean, I think there's less people in South Dakota, so you can have that if you want.
No, I think that so I actually was talking about both of these fan bases, and I think in general, if you take like the extremes of both of these fan bases,
the worst.
I think that you have like the highest percentage of those fan bases are the most extreme. Like I'd say like 15%, maybe 20% of Eagles and Patriots fan base is like way too hardcore.
Yeah.
And like the average I'd say is like maybe 5 or 10%.
Am I part of that extreme, Matt?
Yeah, you are. But like and like so is our friend Chad for the Patriots. Like just like blindly Chad,
fuck you, suck a dick.
Sean, you've like done a better job since we started this podcast of like reeling it in rather than just being like emotion. He's gotten way better since like our fucking test episodes. That's but like fair. Right.
Tina didn't know. Right?
So, like, oh, but like,
you
know he did.
I mean? So I think that when I think of both of these teams, I'm like, you guys are so fucking annoying.
So annoying.
That like I would rather both of you I would rather Tom Brady break his hand off and then the Patriots win that fucking game.
You understand that like you saying that just fuels me.
That's the fine. Only reason why you're not playing on the fucking Eagles, so I'm saying that like I don't care.
Yeah. The only reason why I'm really rooting for the Pats is just like if Sean was like the only Eagles fan that I knew and like I knew a bunch of Patriots fans, then I would probably be like, okay. But like I only really know like Mickey and my boy Connor as Patriots fans, and like I don't really hate them as Patriots fans as much as I hate all of my friends that are Eagles fans. Like,
right, because
the Patriots fans that I know are not the extreme, but the Eagles fans that I know are the extreme. So like that's why I'm like the Eagles cannot win this fucking Super Bowl. Like so they cannot win.
So when I think about this game,
Ben, and I'm going to light your phone up. It's gonna be this is gonna be the best day ever.
I really hope that you can cut that recording out and then play it tonight after the game is over. Yeah. This is the best day of my life.
Why is there a dog?
So I think
you say why is there a dog?
Yeah, my dog. What's up, Bubby? I think that if I'm looking at both of these games objectively, and if I think about, God damn it, Kaiser!
Damn it, Kaiser!
What are you doing, Sean? Fuck! I just lost all my train of thoughts.
Oh, you smell terrible.
Okay. So if I look at both of these teams and I say who would I want to win? Obviously, wanting has a definite factor in who I'm going to pick. Obviously, we always say that we don't, but we definitely do. Like Ben's like a perfect example with the Rams. Sean's a perfect example with the Eagles.
Tell me you're going to pick New England.
What's the point of like not wanting like if you're not wanting a team to win, what's the point?
Right, exactly, and I think that's totally fair. So I think looking at both of these, I want the Eagles to win because to me, I think both of these are great success stories. Obviously, it's like. Carson Wentz went down, and Nick Foles came back.
Big dick Nick, baby.
However, I was also talking about this. I'm not – I personally hate the underdog story with the Eagles. I hate the whole underdog narrative because –
They're the one seed.
Right. Well, first of all, they're the one seed, but that one seed I definitely think is tarnished by the fact that it's not their starting quarterback. However – Nick Foles has posted like the highest QBR in the postseason so far and hasn't dropped under 100 since he's been a starter, nixing that Cowboys game, which is kind of a mulligan in general because he only played for a quarter and whatever the fuck. That game, to me, doesn't count. But he's come out and played better than like every other quarterback. So the fact that the odds come out, that people are betting against them, almost makes it null to me because not much other than their quarterback being injured, which at this point literally just was made null by Foles playing out of his like mind, playing well into the system, makes me think that they're an underdog in any of these games. I thought that they would be the underdog, and watching the way that they coped with losing him and the way that they played has made me think absolutely otherwise just because of how they fucking play. I haven't seen an Eagles team that looks like an underdog at all in this postseason, and the more I thought about it, the less I thought that they are an underdog. So, like, I mean...
Everyone says that... Dude, nobody thinks that they're...
You wanted the narrative for the underdog way more than you did the Absolutely, favorite. So it's, like, it's which like to me it pisses me off just because you. Looking at the way you played, you're not an underdog at all.
I agree with you in that matter, but like technically speaking, everybody picked against them throughout.
You had a bunch of Vegas guys who saw Nick Foles being in the lineup and picked against them.
Yeah, I get that, but like, dude, like, if obviously this team knows that they're not underdogs, and having other people say this, like, they're rallying around that, which is like, I love.
I agree. I think it fuels you. I think it's a great thing. I just think that, like,
but like, yes, you can, yeah, I know they're the number one seed, but that's what they're saying. They're like, we're the number one seed. We're clearly the better team, and you guys are all gonna go out and disrespect us like that and say like we have no shot. That's their mentality. That's why they're playing like this. That's why I love it.
I hate the – I just like the part that I don't like about it is that the sentiment that I'm getting from it is like, look, we're like completely overperforming because everyone is like beating us down. And it's like we're – I don't know, man. I just can't – the underdog narrative to me is annoying to me.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a cop-out. Based off of the story that they've had this season, based off of how they've performed, based off of me not wanting the Patriots to win or Brady to get his sixth, even though it's like still the most incredible. I think he's the greatest quarterback of all time. Like, I can go on about him too. But I think that the story I think it would be a better conclusion if the Eagles win this game. I do think they're going to win this game. And I think that the Pats are just not going to get that last drive that they always get in these games. They always get that last drive. You know exactly. Every single one of us who's like listening to this, everyone who listens to us, knows that exact last drive that the Patriots get. They know that drive.
When did you guys know in the Jaguars game? Like, was it in the fourth quarter?
I knew
in the second quarter. I knew with a minute left in the second quarter when the Jags kneeled the ball instead of going to get points.
I said right before that podcast that we did before that game, all I said was, I don't even pay attention to the score for that first half. That first half to me is
I don't pay attention to the score to the fourth quarter, TBH, in Patriots games.
Yeah, when the Patriots are playing someone in the playoffs, not the Super Bowl necessarily, even though that's definitely true too. I think actually, never mind. I almost never pay attention to how the Patriots play in the first half because it doesn't fucking matter. They proved that it doesn't matter historically on a historic level against the Falcons last year, even though the Falcons fucked up on so many levels.
I truly believe that the Birds are going to win the coin toss. They're going to defer. They're going to kick off to the Pats, and the Pats are going to score a touchdown on their opening drive. Happens almost every fucking game.
I think that the Eagles, so my Except prediction actually finally getting to it, I think the Eagles win this one 26-21. They're going to need to get that 26? Last touch. Yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's that game.
Safety.
It's that game.
You said the Patriots are going to win 26-21 or the Eagles were?
No.
Eagles are going to win 26-21. I'll take the under on that. But I don't know, man. I've done so much like article reading this fucking week. I was talking, I think, Sean the other day about it too. It is so fucking annoying reading like either hometown paper that's picked up by like the USA worst. Today or National, the like worst. Boston ones, like local writers for Boston who are like big Boston guys who write it. Are every single person who writes sports is pretty much biased in some way, shape, or form, which is I take that in consideration anyways when I'm reading it. But like reading one over the other is like Eagles ain't shit. They don't know how to fucking do this, 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 and this. And I'm like, these are somewhat shortcomings, but not really. And like looking at like an Eagle, like a Philly paper that like got picked up nationally too, is the same thing where it's like fly Eagles fly over and over and over, and that just like means that they're better. I'm like, come on.
That's the thing though about these two franchises that like out of like most teams, like we talked about this. So like Jaguars fans, just for example, like. I wouldn't call them the most knowledgeable fans, whereas I would call Eagles fans very, very knowledgeable. I would call Patriots fans very, very knowledgeable. I'd even call, like, Steelers fans very, very knowledgeable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, some fan bases, like, they're not, like, they just, like, root for the team. They don't, like, get into it as hardcore as a lot of these other teams do. I that's just how I feel. That's why I like reading a lot of these articles. Like, I know they're stemming from, you know, accurate, like, points of view.
So, now Ben and I got ours in, and I have like a bunch of questions for both you two before we get to your actual. I know Mickey just wrote his prediction down, and I'm sure Ben Sean has an idea in his head. I don't just want to do that. I kind of want to talk a little bit more. I want us to get in there a little bit, and we'll talk about the game.
Build it up until the predictions.
Yeah,
at the end.
Yeah. Build it up.
I mean, we know what the predictions are going to be. Obviously, you know what I mean. So
right.
Like,
right. No, can't blow your load in the first 20 minutes. Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes it happens.
I mean, 20 minutes. I mean, whatever. Depends.
20 minutes, man. Who am I, Ron Jeremy?
So my first question is, Foles going to be enough slash meaning is he and their offense going to be able to create enough passing yards to contribute significantly to this game, or is it going to be carried by Ajayi, their running rotation, and their defense?
Yeah, so it's going to be a combination of all of those things.
Agreed.
The RPO is going to be very, 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 very heavily used. Very heavily. They've been using it a lot more since Carson went down. It's something that Nick used with Chip Kelly. It's when he thrived, when he threw like 27 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. It's also very college-based, which is something I love. But they've been doing it all year, but they've definitely picked up a little bit more with it since Wentz went down. And Foles has been thriving in it. If he sees a matchup that he likes, he passes it to him. And usually they have to keep a decent number of people in the box because of the run and how devastating our run game can be. So I see that being a big factor tonight. I personally think Ajayi is going to have a game. The Patriots' interior run stop is not the best. And having these, just getting a few big plays running like that, they're going to have to bring more people into the box, which is going to open up for Nick Foles to get some decent passes in. So I think he's going to have 2 touchdowns tonight.
I think that a caveat that I told you about the other night, that the Patriots, we had said that, like, you know, their yards allowed in a game was like, you know, whatever, around 30th for most of the season, and that was very front loaded skewed because of like their first few weeks that they had. But even still, even after that, even the second half of the season, they were still like 28th in yards allowed a game, but their points allowed a game was only like 18.3. And the question was like, why? And it was because a ridiculous time of possession, and the field positioning that the Patriots give to most of their opponents is like stupid. Like the amount of times that the Patriots have given the ball away to the opponents inside 20, or when the opponent starts on their own 20, is like some ridiculous percentage when they lose the ball. So like, how tired is that? I mean, that's a lot. Even obviously it's a lot on your defense, but like, I don't know. It's a lot on your offense there every time you go out if you start on the 15-yard line rather than starting on the 50 or the 40, you know what I mean?
So when I was reading up about the Eagles defense, it said that they lose steam in the fourth quarter. Like, how isn't that a huge red flag for you?
That is not true. I don't know where you're reading that at.
I read it on the statistically your defense is the worst in the fourth quarter. Like, out of the 4 quarters of a game, like, your guys' defense is the worst in the fourth quarter.
That's another one of those, like, padded stats just because of a lot of early games. Since the playoffs have started, like, the last 6 weeks, they haven't allowed more than 10 points in a game. They're so deep with players that, like, that the pass rush, the front four, will come at you all night. That will not stop. The secondary, I could see getting a little bit gassed. We're not as deep in our secondary, but still, they've been playing lights the fuck out. We do get Sidney Jones back. It adds a little bit of depth, but he's only played 1 game, so I'm not going to get too much into that. But yeah, this defense isn't like a Jags defense that's going to get super gassed in the fourth.
All I heard about the Jags defense was that they had like 2 defensive lines that they could roll constantly and they'd never be tired. Like,
yeah, well, that's so much different. Like, Belichick said it himself that we have like 8 or 9 guys up front that will just keep coming. Like, they rotate them in all like consistently. Schwartz is really, really good with that. It's how, like, look at the past 3 games. We've attacked the hell out of last year's MVP, and I mean, yes, it was fucking Case Keenum, but he had a—
How
would
you
very,
feel
very
about
very
those
bad
games? Like,
the Atlanta game,
I just feel that the playoffs kind of this year stunk.
I was really nervous going into the Atlanta game, but, and we've talked about this too, where how, like, me as a fan of the Eagles, like, that was an awesome game for me to watch, but from an outside perspective, that was such a shitty game. But then the Vikings game, I was just in a constant state of euphoria, so I can't really complain about that game.
Yo, talk about— I despise teams that play in stadiums. Like, what? That was just like— that was the most, like, I saw that coming a mile away. It was like, we play in a stadium all year, we're going outdoors after a super emotional win, and like, it's raining and it's shitty out. It's like, oh no, like, you guys are barely gonna show up.
Plus, if you listen to anybody talk about that game in particular, they will tell you it was the loudest outdoor atmosphere that they have ever been in. a lot of the players, a lot of like sports like broadcasters came out saying like they thought Seattle was the loudest, and after experiencing that game, it just completely changed their opinion on it.
This game's not at the link, so
I know. I'm also curious to see how like the fan distribution is tonight.
It's gonna be dog shit. The atmosphere at Super Bowls are usually trash.
The tickets are so expensive this year. There's such a like following behind this Eagles team. I do personally believe that it's going to be slightly in our favor when it comes to fan fight.
But realistically, I don't see it mattering.
You're right. The Super Bowl is a whole different monster in itself. Because of that, you don't get that home field advantage. Plus, the halftime, you really have to take into account for the extended halftime. Not only do you get more time to game plan, but think about going out there playing super fucking hard. This is the biggest stage, and then you get 45 minutes of just rest, and your body starts to tighten up and whatnot, and then you have to go back out there and do it for another half.
Be a real shame if one of these teams tough. Didn't know how to deal with that. Be a real shame.
Be a real shame if all these teams didn't have 6 years of Super Bowl experience.
They're not going to win this game. I'm sorry. They're not. Alshon Jeffrey already guaranteed it.
Oh, God. I can't. I got to change my pick. Alshon Jeffrey changed my mind.
Is Tom's hand and Gronk a concern at all?
No.
Wow, God.
What do you mean?
How is Gronk not a concern to you?
Buddy. Oh, my God.
Sean. Jenkins is going to shut him down.
Right. Oh, God, no.
Yep. Jenkins. He figured it out.
He solved the puzzle. Gronk has yet to play.
Is he going to shoot him? Is he going to shoot him in the knee?
Gronk will not have a touchdown tonight.
I don't think that would matter.
Yeah, I really don't think it matters either if he has a touchdown or not.
Honestly, if Gronk doesn't have a touchdown, he'll have 95 yards.
Brady will throw a touchdown tonight.
Yeah, no shit, Brady's gonna throw a touchdown, bro.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Sean, I can't tell if this is the hangover, just Sean's stupidity. I just got the worst headache. Oh my God. Brady's not gonna throw a touchdown.
If it happens, I'm just saying.
Wait, did you say Brady's not gonna throw a touchdown?
I said he might not.
Oh my God, dude.
He's not throwing.
He might have an aneurysm before kickoff. He's
not throwing more than one.
I disagree. Oh, so you just think we're going to give it to Lewis and White and just, lead the clock and run it down
your
throats?
You're going to try to do that.
Interesting. That's an interesting thought process for the best quarterback of all time. And against the best rush defense in the NFL. It's an odd thought process.
Yeah, I would think that one of the greatest coaches in NFL history would probably have
with someone who just said their secondary is sometimes shaky.
I'm just saying. Just watch.
I think the X-Factor tonight is going to be Danny Amendola and Chris Hogan.
That was my next question.
I think it's
going to be Cooks. I don't think that you guys have anybody that trash. Can run with him.
Darby can run with Cooks. Darby is going to be on him most of the night.
That's a good matchup. I think it's a good matchup. It's one of those things where it takes one big play to either shut him down, vice versa. Cooks rips the ball out of his hands. That would have been an interception.
Yeah, it's like a 40-yard game, or he just intercepts it. One big play, and then he'll just come back out and just play super consistently for the rest of the game. But it's all matters when he gives up that big play.
Well, yeah, there is my question. Who, other than a quarterback, is going to have the best offensive game, you think, between
J.J.
in the game, in the whole game combined? J.J. Everyone? Out of everyone, you think J.J. is going to have the best game?
Yeah, I think he rushes for 120 yards and a touchdown, maybe two.
I think Amendola has the best game. Do you think Ajay is a better running back than Fournette?
We have the second best slot corner covering him from the year. I don't think Danny Amendola is not going to have the games that he's been having.
Did you say you have the best slot corner in the NFL?
Second best.
Okay. Yeah, and we just torched the best ones. I mean,
no.
I mean, you're gonna have to double somebody
from the Redskins.
Now the Chiefs.
Now the Chiefs. Yes.
I don't see how out of I'm just gonna list the three receivers or I'll count Gronk as a receiver. I hate differentiating tight ends, but between Gronk Amendola and Cooks, I don't see how you guys keep a hold on that.
If we're being honest, I could say the same thing with the Eagles. The Eagles have way more weapons than
except. Tom Brady is throwing the football for one team, and Nick Foles is throwing for the other.
Nick Foles is the only quarterback in NFL history to have a 100 passer rating in every single one of his his postseason game.
This is Sean, the Super Bowl, bro.
I don't care. You guys can say this all you want. Until I'm proven wrong, like, I'm going to say it.
Okay.
And I mean, and I just have, like, all of history to point back on.
Ben has went against this team every aspect that he possibly can.
That's only because of you. You realize that, right?
I do realize that. That's why.
But
we've mentioned a number of times.
Hey, Sean, guess who I put actual money down on tonight, though? So that should make you a little bit nervous.
No, I'm happy you did that. I'm confident.
You're happy that I bet money on the... Literally, every time that I talk about betting, you tell me how horrible I am at betting.
You took the karma thing away. I'm getting good vibes.
Okay.
Are you saying that you bet on the Eagles strictly because you don't think that they're going to... Like, are you purposely trying to lose money?
Oh, that's not how they work.
That's not how it works. I bet on them because I don't see them losing by more than 5 points, but I also bet on them because that's pretty much the only reason why.
This is gonna be one of the better Super Bowls. I think.
I do think it's gonna be a good Super Bowl. The Pats don't play in bad Super Bowls. Like
all of the your Eagles only played in one. 19 so. Points.
I mean, going back 14 years, like, it's, I don't know, like, it feels weird even talking about that Super Bowl because they really don't have anything to do with each other, but I think it's going to be something like that.
I'm really just hoping Belichick wears red.
Is that one of those weird things that, like, he doesn't win when he wears red?
Yeah.
Kind of like, I mean, Brady. And
he's not
going to
be wearing red.
That, like, that's a curse that's going to get broken.
Yeah,
today.
No, they've talked about that. There's no way in hell that he wears red. Like, he must have been, like, very, very, very furious after that loss. Because they made him wear it. Like, it wasn't his choice.
I'm surprised they
didn't. Yeah, I think that they, like, stopped making wardrobe decisions for Belichick. There's, like, actually,
yeah, I'm surprised that they were able to get
Belichick. I really
hope
he's in a cut-off hoodie.
In shorts.
That would be my ideal outfit
bro,
for him to wear to beat him.
Vogel, hop on Twitter and watch this goal. When Yama just went, like, top left from 30.
Oh, that's pretty
nice.
That
was unbelievable.
Also, 80% of people think football is, in fact, dangerous.
Huh.
Yeah.
God damn it.
God damn it.
Jabronis.
Fucking Liverpool.
All right, next question. Will more poles be climbed in Philadelphia if they win or if they lose?
They switched from Crisco to...
Lube.
To motor oil.
Motor oil. That's... Not the answer.
That
to the
sounds.
Question.
That's
a very.
That's bad. I think if they win, the poles will be climbed. If they lose, the motor oil will be torched.
Well, they said that
yeah,
the Crisco was not like a good enough lubricant to stop people from climbing the pole. So they're hoping that this works, which indeed it will not. If they want to climb that pole, it will get done.
So the question remains: is it going to be more or less if they win or lose?
I say more. I think that the whole
for what?
City. More poles will be climbed.
If what?
Will you climb more poles if they win, or will you climb more poles if they lose?
Oh, no, obviously if they win.
Okay.
That's what I'm sorry, that's like that a little bit wrong. But no, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what do you mean? Why would they climb poles if they lose?
You don't think the city's going to riot if they lose?
I do not.
I
think it'll be a very sad place to be.
I think
everyone's
going to be
blacked out.
This
reminds me, like, really big, like...
You don't think the city's going to be blacked out if they lose?
I mean,
but it's just going to be really. It's going to be really sad. Like, it's not going to be a let's go do stuff. It's going to be like I'm going to order more food and go to bed. Like I have to go to work tomorrow. I don't know. Like I'm like just like looking in. Like I'm getting like a comparison. Like I'm getting a vibe from Philly where it was kind of like down here when the Red Sox in like 03, like 02, 2004, like
yeah. See, the thing...
I mean, like, the Pats have, like, run the city, obviously, because they've just been great, but, like, I'd say that, like, the Boston's team is the Red Sox, like...
Yeah.
Like, end-all, be-all. Like, it seems that, like, the Eagles are, like, that way for Philly. Is that, like, would you say that's accurate, Sean, Tommy?
I would agree with that.
See, dude, the thing that gets me about the Eagles fan... Like, the fan bases is, like, obviously, like, the Patriots... Our Patriots fans just like, yeah, like, whatever, like, it's just another Super Bowl for us, but, like... Ever since the Eagles won the NFC Championship, it seems as though, like, they already won the Super Bowl. So, like, that also...
Oh, no, like, I'm not hating on that. Like, I remember going nuts when, like, we made the World Series. Like,
yeah.
I'm not going to hold it against Philly fans for going nuts. Like, This is
Not at all.
Like, I wish I could. Like, they should go nuts if they win. Like, there's part of me that's like almost kind of like, oh, I wish I could be that excited. But like,
you don't understand.
This years and years of success is just kind of muddled my opinion on Super Bowls.
I'm
I feel like Mickey does understand that emotion. Actually,
it's awful. Tonight is gonna be the night the tide starts to turn, and it opens the door up for more teams and the Pats dynasty to, you know, go out the window.
Did we just hop back to 2013? Like, what do you like? I've been like, is Brady finally gonna look his age tonight?
Yes.
Does he like?
After 5 years of saying it, Brady's finally going to look old tonight.
I mean, it's not a bad business to be in when you can just say the same thing and like know that you're eventually going to be right in like a couple of years.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a numbers game.
That's been my year. That literally has been my entire year where I've been saying it from the get-go. Everyone laughed in my face, and now it's all.
Are you crying?
No, I'm not crying.
It sounded like you were crying right there. Like, every time I talked about this team, everyone laughed at me, and now we're in the Super Bowl.
This is what happens when you start drinking at noon.
You can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. If you
were within arm's reach, I would hit you.
So your predictions.
Predictions? Mickey, you can go first.
85-0, Patriots.
No, I'm going 28-24. I think it's going to be late. Oh, fuck.
Oh, so you're betting on the Brits too, huh?
Oh, fuck. Sorry.
Liverpool.
All right, yeah, like, if anybody says I have it easy as a sports fan, have never seen me, like, around this fucking soccer team.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
I'm going 28-24, New England. I think it's going to be late. I think that... Let me do the math right now. Yeah. Late, I think that middle of the fourth, I don't know, sometime in the fourth, it'll be like 21-14 maybe. And I think that the defense does what it's been doing for a while. Like, it's going to dominate the field position. It's going to, like, kind of hold you guys. You'll get that field goal, and I think that you're going to see two touchdowns from the Patriots in the fourth, and it's going to be like the, oh, my fucking God, they're doing it again. it's like, Tom was really looking shitty, and now, oh, wait, look at that. He's like 9 of 11 for like 150 yards. Like, what just happened? I think that that's how this game's going to go.
That's exactly my
fucking God. What? Sam Hinkie just tweeted about the Braves, and I couldn't be more excited right now. I just got just this wave of, like, fuck.
Sean wasn't excited before.
Fucking go!
He's peeking.
I'm peeking.
I'm not even close to peeking yet.
I'm ready to run through, like, seven.
Do you
want to
get off with me?
I'm not even begun to peek, D.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Your prediction, Sean. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. 27-24.
Make up your goddamn mind, buddy.
27-24.
Nothing else to say?
Ooh, yo, I just hopped on Twitter and saw that, like, smooch pick from Ben.
Yeah.
Not great.
Not a good look. Not a good look. Dude, the second picture with his hand behind the child's head, like, pushing it towards his face and his lips, not ideal.
Benny, he's holding a child. He has to give the support there, or else the kid would just fall backwards. Like, come on.
Yeah, or else the kid would be like, Dad, I don't want to kiss you on your fucking lips.
He went down the middle like a dummy. What a dummy. Fuck you, Harry Kane. You stupid fuck. Oh,
this team,
I'm going to explode.
So, we're moving on a little bit. We got, who do you think, less about the teams here, who do you think is going to have the best commercial this year?
Bud Light.
I think Bud Light's jumped the shark with the Dilly Dilly. Like, they peaked too early on the topic of peaking.
I could see that.
Yeah.
I definitely think they're going to have a big
Dilly Dilly commercial tonight, though, and everyone's going to freak out on Twitter.
It's the end of the trilogy, so I'm excited for it.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited for it. I think that, like, there's always, like, one or two surprise companies where you're like, oh, they paid all that money to have a Super Bowl ad? And, like...
The M&M one with Danny DeVito is supposed to be really funny.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, yeah, exactly. Like, something like that you're going to see.
If he's not, like, drooling and covered in, like, crushed up, spit out M&Ms, I'm not here for it.
That picture of them on the plane was awesome.
Yeah, I know. Huh?
I hope he's covered in peanut butter.
Peanut butter would be sick.
That'd be pretty lit.
Is there a lot of I just thought of this, like, from a marketing perspective. Is there a shitload of pressure on the Dilly Dilly campaign? Yeah. Like, I know that they've built, obviously, like, a lot of hype, and everyone, like, I know that there's people who are excited just to see that. But, like,
but I mean, that's also, like, pressure. There's a lot of pressure, but that's also exactly what they want. Like,
right,
it's worked. So, like, they don't, I feel like they don't feel the pressure just because they're like, it's whatever we do, it's gonna be, like, mission accomplished.
Yeah, I think so too. I think that they're gonna, like, crush it, knock it out of the park. I was just sitting here thinking, I was like, oh, by the way, like, it's like M&M's comes in and just, like, murders it. People are not going to remember the Dilly Dilly one because it's been around,
yeah,
rather than, like an M&M one.
But,
like,
even if another commercial crushes it tonight and, like, is more memorable than the Dilly Dilly one, like, they've already had their footprint on it that, like, people still know Dilly Dilly. Like, people will still say Dilly Dilly and jump off a cliff and, like, all that kind of shit. So, like, I don't think that they really – like, not that they don't care if they have, like, a very memorable Super Bowl commercial, but, like, I feel like they wouldn't be, like, too butthurt about it if, like, another, like, company comes in and just says, yeah, like, I'm taking, like, we have the best commercial. Like, I don't really think they care.
No. I don't think so either. And speaking of beer, we came up with a room temp drinking game. Mm-hmm. We came up with a room temp drinking game.
I'm excited
game.
For this.
Jesus, yeah, so fucking Christ.
For those of you who are over the age, obviously we don't condone underage drinking, ever. Not at all.
Unless you have a fake ID.
Unless you have a fake ID, a good fake, like one that looks like your brother or something like that, that passes and, like, scans and everything like that, then use it. Then listen to us. Listen up, kid. We got a drinking game, and it's a drink every time, and we got some sections. Obviously, drink for a touchdown. We're going to post this on our Twitter so you can actually see, because listening to what I'm about to say is probably going to be annoying as hell. If there's a dope run, drink for 5 seconds. If there's a great catch, drink for 5 seconds. If there's a great catch and, like, you know, a lot of yards after catch, drink for 10 seconds.
You should drink. 50... You should drink for every yard after catch. Like, if it's like a set. Like, if he gets like 12 yards after catch, you drink for 12 seconds. If he gets like 15
there
yards,
there's way too much math going on.
I was just
right
gonna
now.
Say, yeah. I thought about it, and then I was.
What do you
like,
mean, math? He literally math just says that, like you could, like, it's pretty easy to figure out.
Like, I don't, like, do they, like, I'm trying, like, that's not like a point to make after every catch where they're like, all right, he caught the ball like 6 yards out,
that's
and he
fair
ran 13.
That, that's
just
fair.
Like, oh, yeah,
yeah, that's fair.
It's like a 20-yard reception.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck you, Harry Kane.
If you score a 50-yard-plus touchdown, like a big-ass touchdown, finish your drink. If it's, God forbid, for any of the teams, it's a 75-plus-yard touchdown, you finish your drink and then shotgun a beer because you're fucking blacking out.
Oh, that's happening tonight, JJ.
No. You would literally think that the Eagles are going to steamroll the Patriots tonight if it's in Sean's mind.
No, it's going to be –
Gilmore pick six in the red zone. Sounds about right.
Nick Bosa will not throw an interception tonight.
All of these things that you're saying,
JJ,
dude, like
75-plus yard touchdown, no chance of a Nick Foles interception.
All of the things you're saying like does talk, not coincide like we, with the score that you predicted.
It's,
like
it's like we talked about. No, Tom Brady's gonna score one touchdown.
No, he's not. You said that.
No,
you said
so
no
is
touchdown.
Defense,
he's not gonna,
is the
he's not
defense
score,
getting
he's
the
not
other
score
like
more than one?
16
he,
points.
In all
what's going on here?
He's gonna score. No, you guys are gonna.
Oh my God, Salah is a fucking god. Injury time, yo.
No
he
way.
Just oh my god, bro. That was insane.
Soccer interruption. Liverpool just scored in stoppage time.
Two of their running backs are gonna score. Tom Brady's gonna throw one passing touchdown. Two of their running backs are gonna score and they're gonna get a
dude, goal. This is insane. Today's awesome. I'm so happy. Today's gonna be an amazing day, fellas.
No, it's not.
Fellas.
Folks.
This is
folks.
Fellas, this is gonna be great. Ugh.
Oh yeah, sorry. For field goals, you can drink too. Three seconds for 3 points. That's pretty fair. And then like plus 2 seconds for like every increment that it's longer than 30 yards. Just pretty much to think of it that way.
Defender.
And God forbid someone hits a 60-yard field goal, just finish a drink. Drink for every sack. Drink for every turnover. If it's a strip sack, drink for 10 fucker. And then the last one is all about Chris Collinsworth. Sean, you can read that one if you want.
Okay, so if he says something fucking stupid,
which is pretty often, pretty often.
Yeah, it's honestly. This rule alone, I might have to drink for the entire game. If he just pisses you off, which again is pretty often, and if you see his face.
Yeah, you know, like when they show
Chris
his face.
Oh, we got Klopp running down the sidelines. Good.
Jesus Christ, buddy.
I would like to add something to the Chris Collinsworth thing, too. You need to shotgun a beer when he slides in, when Al Michaels introduces him in the beginning. So you just start the broadcast out with
so
a shotgun
true.
Of beer.
Yo, Sean, I'm telling you right now. As somebody who doesn't really remember the Seahawks Super Bowl, you want to pace yourself, buddy.
like.
No, I know.
You don't want to be like, oh, wait,
I've said
like,
that.
I don't really remember anything like halfway through the third quarter. So, easy on these shotgunning rules.
To be fair, when Penn State was in the Big Ten championship game last year against Wisconsin, they were down like 28-7 or something like outrageous, and I did black out before.
So we have our room temp drinking game, and the only thing that could go better with a room temp drinking game is a room temp drink of the week from Gray Neff, who is joining us right here, right now.
Uh-oh.
He's not going to be able to hear anything you guys say.
Back-to-back live performances from Grayson Neff.
Yeah. Live performances from Gray. What's our drink of the week? Here, explain it to us. What do we got for the Super Bowl?
Well, cocktails for football are hard because
another penalty kick.
Old liquor and athletics don't exactly go together.
Vogel, bro,
you good, Mickey?
They just got another PK. Oh
Who
my
did?
God, Tottenham! It's the 93rd minute.
Tottenham's got a PK in the 93rd
minute. Remember how good of a day this was gonna be?
You still take the point,
bro.
Do you want us to wait?
Yeah, do you want us to wait?
No,
wait
just send it, dude. Just send it. No, this matters.
I'm going to remember you said that later. I'm going to reference it.
None of this matters. All right, great. Go ahead. You're drinking the week.
When the Eagles get smoked.
So, drink of the week for Super Bowl Sunday is the root beer float cocktail.
Ooh.
This sounds tasty.
Vanilla or whipped vodka with root beer schnapps, half and half, a topping of cola of your choice.
How does one make this root beer float?
Shake it together, except for the cola, because then it'll explode. yeah. Shake it up enough so the half and half will be frothy, delicious, airy, perfect dessert cocktail, and sporty somewhat, I guess.
I thought you were going to just grab a beer. Thought we were going to have you do that. But I like the root beer float. So
or
much
whiskey.
More than whiskey a beer. What's on the whiskey?
The
he came in with a root beer float, just like crushed the expectation.
Yeah, that was very impressive.
Are you gonna be having one today, or are you just taking a beer? What's your drink of choice?
Well, so this morning I'm coming out of my bartending coma with my Grand Marnier for some citrus.
There you go. Yum.
We'll see where the rest of the day takes me.
kind of
I'll
ad hoc.
Keep a log. I've never kept the log, but people tell me I should keep a log.
of all the things he's drank throughout the day. That's Gray's drink of the week. The Super Bowl drink of the week. We'll maybe get that on Twitter if we're not lazy enough. But
this just in, the Ball brothers combined for 44 points against the 7-time defending LKL champion team.
Oh,
in their
man,
league.
They're going to be sick in the NBA.
Yeah, that's all I have to say about that.
So,
I just want it to be 6:30 right now, with a rolling rock in my hand.
Did he make the PK there, Mickey?
It's
yeah,
green.
Did.
That's the only PK.
He made the PK.
great. Jesus. I'm not drinking. It has to be from this country. Fair enough. I know.
All right, guys, final thoughts here. Let's wrap this up here.
Get these people listening. Well, Liverpool back just disappointed me in, like, only Liverpool fashion, so the Patriots are a lock. That's just
they were a lock before when they were winning, too, so, you know.
I was a little worried when Liverpool were playing well, but now this happened and all is right
oh,
in the world.
Shut up.
That's just how the world works, buddy.
Final thought, Ben.
My final thought is, I mentioned it earlier, but shout out to the We Not Me movement and what Sean McVay has instilled in the Los Angeles Rams, first team in NFL history to sweep the major awards last night at the
Nobody
NFL
gives
honors.
A fuck.
So,
yeah. I'm gonna
shout out to my coach of the year, shout out to my offensive player of the year, and shout out to my defensive player of the year. Can't wait for next year. Let's go out there and get it.
Can't wait to see you guys in the Super Bowl. Never.
Oh, sick burn, bro.
Both NFC teams. I get it. You totally didn't think that went through.
Good luck in the Super Bowl, never loser.
freaking nerds.
Vogel, your thoughts?
My thoughts are that Kaiser is 48 pounds.
Wow, big body.
His body weight increased 46% in 3 weeks.
Dude, what are you feeding him?
We don't even have him on a lifting program yet. This is wild.
It's Balkan season, bro.
He was 5 or 6 weeks old, so he's looking lean. Bro's big now. He's a dog.
Bro's officially a dog. He's no longer a pup.
I pretty much tell him every day that he's a dog, just so he recognizes his own, existence. Building self-awareness for a dog is, I hear, really important. I read in a book. I read on the internet, so it's got to be true.
Thanks.
Sean.
Did everyone else go in?
Yep.
Okay, my final thought Stone is peak. This. Ben, fuck you. Nikki, fuck you.
I'm going to be tweeting up a storm, fellas.
That is against the Eagles tonight. Fuck you. Chad Sullivan, fuck you. Billy Price, fuck you. Drew Glass, fuck you. All of you.
Uh-huh.
All of you. Fuck
it's
you.
Like three people, yo. Majority
fuck them all.
And the majority, in the wild majority of the country is rooting for you. Like, be more insecure.
I know. I'm not that insecure. I can't fucking wait. I'm so excited. Let's fucking go, Birds.
It's going to be a really good game.
They're bringing the Lombardi back to Philly, and it's never been there.
What are you talking about?
They're bringing it to Philly. Okay. Yeah, I'll correct myself there.
It's never been there.
Yeah, let's go, Birds. Fly, Eagles, fly, baby.
I think it's going to be a kick-ass game.
I want to scream so bad. I think it's going to be a great game, too.
I don't have much of an outro for you guys. We pretty much said everything.
I think we should just play the Eagles fight song.
Absolutely not. Do that.
Yeah. We'll see in the group chat. It'll be, I'm sure it'll be civil.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. Join us on whenever the hell we do our next show. Have a great day. Stay toasty. And watch the Super Bowl.
Peace.
Peace.
Hasta luego.